Kind of wanted that to continue on, Carrie. Disappointed when it ended. If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to turn to what I trust is a very familiar passage to you. The first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, chapter 1. John's writing is the preambles that he enters into both in the Gospel and here in this first epistle are so wonderful to spend time in. And so I go back there repeatedly, it seems like, and dine on it again. So this is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Heavenly Father, as we dine now again upon your word, Lord, we desire that you would break it to us, that you would speak to each of our hearts individually, and then collectively, Lord, as the body of Christ, to all of us. Lord, we recognize that we are in need of learning. We recognize, Lord, that there are times in our lives that our attitudes are poor and that our direction is wavering and not steadfast. And Lord, I desire today that we would hear from you. And so, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross. Speak through these fallible lips of clay, the infallible word. And Lord, do this for your glory and for the edification of your people. May you be praised in this preaching, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a lot of years ago now, but we were in the old sanctuary over there. I remember a Sunday where we came to the close of the service. My father was pastoring then, and as we were exiting the church, a gentleman had come into the church in need of financial help. I don't recall if it was for food or gas or whatever the situation was, but he was in need of something. And As I recall it, my dad was going down the stairs before me, and I was following, and this gentleman made his petition known to my dad, and my dad reached in his own pocket and pulled out his own wallet and handed him a $10 bill. And the gentleman's response to that $10 bill was, "Really? That's it?" And my dad, who I greatly admire, wasn't perfect. And he shared with me how hard it was for him not to reach out and take the dollar or the $10 back and put it back in his wallet and tell him to hit the bricks, you know. But he didn't. Now, why tell you that? Because I have received the greatest gift a person can receive, the person of Jesus Christ. And from the day that I accepted Christ as my own and he came to dwell within me, he has never forsaken me. I have never taken a single step that he wasn't with me. His mercies have not failed to be tender and new every morning. His grace has been sufficient for every day of my life. His strength I depend upon for my very breath. And I have found Jesus to be great in his faithfulness every day of my life. In particular, the last 365 days of my life. You know, I make a joke about it only because Dennis keeps bringing it up. That yesterday was my birthday. And I celebrate my birthdays. And I don't celebrate them in the sense that I want a big party or I want gifts or anything like that. I don't celebrate it to be acknowledged by anybody other than God who has graciously gifted me. I'm going to acknowledge to him my gratitude for 365 days of unspeakable gift. And I'm not going to be like a person who would take a free gift given and say, "Oh, really? Is that all?" But you know, sometimes we do that. And sometimes we have been swayed into thinking this aging process is such a terrible thing. But I rejoice in what Jim Wetzler shared yesterday when he went to the doctor and ongoing health things, right, Jim? And he said, "Listen, are you another year older? Praise God, you're another year older. It is high time we forget this, oh, woe is me business, and celebrate in the grace of Jesus Christ, which is evident every day." And a birthday is simply an anniversary to take stock in who God is, what he has done, and relish and rejoice in that. I am thrilled to be 64 years of age. I know I don't look it. But I feel it. There are days I feel it. But I'm going to celebrate. And so I make no apologies that you know my date of birth. Because the day I was born again, I have known the grace of God. Amen? So what I've been doing is I've been, for over the last couple weeks, just reflecting both reflecting on the past and what am I truly thankful for, right? And then considering the future and this unchanging God and what is he going to do in the future for me as he changes me, transforms me so that I might bring more glory to him. And to bring glory to God is to look back and to give him thanks. And I've been thinking about a lot of those things that God has been so gracious to me. And it's become ever more apparent to me as I visit with other people who don't have it. I visited with an old high school friend of mine, and he just expressed to me, exact same age, and he expressed to me, he says, I get very down at times. And I have things that I just long for. And I get depressed. And I go into periods of depression. And I know for some people that's a real thing, right? But I'm looking at that and I came home and I told Di and I said, he doesn't have what I have. And so I shared the gospel with him, of course. But one of the things in the gospel that we have is what John is talking about here in this first epistle. One of the things that we have as Christians, and one of the things I want to encourage you to be thankful for and to take advantage of, is that we have fellowship. We have fellowship amongst ourselves. And John says, and truly, truly our fellowship that what you see is amongst yourselves is actually fellowship with God the Father and his Son. And he says this, and I'm telling you all of these things. He says, this one that you have seen and you have heard, he said, I'm writing all of this unto you that your joy might be full. And if I were to entitle this message today, it would be the way of joy. It's to relish in what it is that I have full access to in the person of Jesus Christ and the work that he has done and is doing, not only simply in my life, but in the lives of these here today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell you, men's breakfast on Saturday, it was tremendous. It was tremendous. Even though Odiah said, this is crazy. And then he corrected himself and he said, no, I got to stop saying that. It's not crazy. It's exactly how God works. That he orchestrates and he brings things around and he speaks to us in a myriad of different ways through Christ. And so we're around the table and we're sharing all these things. And I know kind of where I'm going with the message, but I don't fully have I never fully have it written out until it's time to deliver it. But anyway, I'm going through that. And then Dan Peters opens up his mouth and shares a long devotion that basically preached my sermon. Thanks, Dan. I got up super early this morning and I'm looking at the bulletin and I read the back of the bulletin, which I hadn't done yet, and well, there you go again. It was drawing us into the exact same vein of thought. Now, is God trying to teach us something here? And I believe he is. And so I want to look at this and I want to study what this is that this fellowship that then brings about a fullness of joy in my life and in your lives. And I want to ask you the question as we begin, perhaps, is there a lack of joy in your life? Is it possible today? I'm not looking at things through rose-colored glasses. I know that we have struggles. I know that we have challenges. I know there are things that bring us down. And so if you're lacking some joy in your life, I get it. I understand that. I don't think we should come together and just say, hey, how are you? I'm great if you're not great, okay? So if you're lacking joy in your life, I think we have somewhat of an answer here to where that might be filled to overflowing within your life, the idea of joy. Now, when we talk about joy, we're talking about inner gladness. We're not talking about happiness as the world speaks of happiness that is contingent upon outward things affecting you. Lots of people have moments of happiness, but no, we're talking about joy, an inner gladness that supersedes our circumstances around us, inner gladness. And John seems to say here that our fullness of joy is contingent upon fellowship. fellowship within the body of Christ specifically. Lots of people have fellowship. If you look up the word in the Greek, it's koinonia, and it is to share in common, or communion, which is interesting as well because we're going to partake in communion today. And so what I want to do is I want to just look at a few verses here. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. And as John is sharing his heart, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so I want to share my heart today, and I hope you sense that as we look through Scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Our focus is going to be on verse 9, but we're going to take 1 through 13 to get context here. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And here's our verse. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, what Paul is saying in there is really quite important, because he uses this word a number of times, and he uses the word mystery. Now, when we look at it from an English form of the word, it really makes no sense. When you read mystery within the Bible, what we're talking about is a mystery that must be known and understood by revelation. That it isn't something that we don't know. It's something that's revealed to us as God. You know, when something's a big question mark in your mind and then God reveals the answer to you, that's the mystery. And he says in this passage, he said that God has revealed this mystery unto us by the Holy Spirit, by his power, and so on. That God has revealed something to us. And then he says in verse 9, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery from the beginning of the world, which had been hid in God. That there's an issue of this mystery that is revealed by the Holy Spirit, and it includes this idea of fellowship, that there's fellowship within the mystery that God has revealed through his Holy Spirit. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, it kind of brings it about a little bit more, our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in fellowship as it relates to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10 and reading through 16. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, when you read that opening verse, you have to say, well, now, wait a minute. What has he revealed, right? So you go back to verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You see, that's a mystery to people. They don't get it. They don't understand it. It's a complete mystery. But then he says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teach, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now you see what Paul is saying there. There's this issue within the church of a necessity to be born again by the Spirit of God. This is John chapter 3. That the reality within the church of God is that when you are born again by the Spirit of God, there is a mystery then that becomes evident and real within your life. And it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It was made reference to it this morning, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit bearing witness with the Spirit. You see that? If you're here today and you're born again by the Spirit of God, you didn't intellectually discern that on your own. You could not. But rather, God by His Spirit opened your eyes to see, opened your ears to hear, softened your heart to receive, and you responded to that and you received this free gift of Jesus Christ, where we enter into a oneness relationship with Him. That is fellowship in Christ that is also shared within the body of Christ as we become brothers and sisters. Are you thankful for that? And do you find joy in that? I have to tell you, when we partake in communion today, it is one of the most joyful things for me to do as a pastor. Absolutely one of the most joyful things. Solemn, serious, and joyful. Well, this would lead us then to understand why in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul would go on to write. And we're going to cover a lot of ground here, so let your fingers do the walking through your Bibles. But Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, look at what we're talking about fellowship now, and we're talking about fellowship of the Spirit. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is but one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, of one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What a great passage. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit within the fellowship that God has provided for us with Him and with one another. Well, standing in contradiction to that would have been what Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he discusses with these people there's envy, bitterness, and strife, and he says you're walking as men, you're walking carnally, you're not walking according to the Spirit. What I want you to understand today is fellowship is brought about by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. It cannot be realized without the Holy Spirit. You can have false fellowship, you can have fellowship according to a football team that you all agree on, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a fellowship in the unity of the Spirit of God. That is what Christ has made available to you and I in order that we might have fullness of joy within our lives. This is why Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5 to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. And of course, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. I got up this morning and I have a calendar on my microwave, and I've probably shared things out of that before, but it's a Far Side calendar, and if you're familiar with the writings of Mr. Larson and his cartoons, the Far Side, some of them are a little sacrilegious at times and things like that, but he's got a crazy sense of humor, and the cartoon this morning was interesting to me because it was a bunch of stagecoaches, covered wagons in a circle. And of course, you go back to the old westerns, right? When did they put the wagons in a circle? When the Indians were coming. That was probably in this day and age a racist thing to say. I'm sorry if it was. It wasn't meant to be. Anyway, and they in a circle, and then the Indians are going around the circle, remember? And as they're going, one Indian meets an Indian going the other way, and he said, "Red tail, it's always counterclockwise." We always go the same way. And as Christians, we are to always go the same way. And even though God has made access to this fellowship with Him in the person of Jesus Christ and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, and even though Christ has loved us and given us a love one for another, how we live out is important in the body of Christ. Because it's possible where your joy should be full that you're running in the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. You see, but the problem is within the church is when I'm not being filled with all of this joy that is accessed to me, my first thought is to look at people around me and say, "Yeah, but." But the reality is, a person in the body of Christ, I am not to be looking at my brother or my sister. What I'm supposed to be doing is reflecting on my own self and asking myself the question, then if it's available, why don't I have it? But we don't like to do that. You know, I've met with people before counseling, and the first thing I do when I counsel, and I'm not a trained counselor by any means, but the first thing I just let them talk. I had a gentleman on the phone here a while back, and I let him talk, and I'm glad I don't have a landline, and I'm glad I wasn't paying for it by the minute. That's all I'm telling you. And it went on for a crazy amount of time. And everything he talked about was the fault of his wife. Everything. And I would jump in whenever he took a breath and say, "Yeah, but, what about?" But he would not look at it. He would not look at himself. And this is a man who is, he's torn up, he's in torment and all of this. But there's no hope for a man like that until he's willing to look at himself and ask himself, "Well, then why don't I have peace? Why don't I have love? Why don't I have joy? Why don't I have the evidence of the Holy Spirit within my life?" And specifically today we're talking about joy. And I want to give it to you. It's really quite simple. But so many times in our lives, we take the simple things that God has presented to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and we seem to just put that on Jesus himself and not take it upon ourselves that he is our example and that we are to live the Christ life. I was reading a little bit the other day, a little A.B. Simpson book, The Christ Life and the Self Life. They are two completely separate things. You cannot live your self life and still be living the Christ life. And you cannot live the Christ life and hold on to your self life. Do you know that? That there's got to be a separation of those two things. One has to die in order for the other one to live in you. And so if we look at, it's just so plain and so simple. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer here says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That's right. We're in this passage of time where we are being winning victory over, or to be winning victory over, the power of sin in our lives. That this is an issue, that we recognize that we have people around us, that people are witnessing our life, and the importance of us running patiently this race that is set before us, setting aside the things that slow us down, the things that take us off track, namely sin. And then he says in verse 2, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Now you see, you got to stop there. He has not only authored your faith, he is the finisher of your faith. So you have a beginning and an ending coming when we're going home to be with the Lord. And in between that is this running race scenario. And we're all there. Right? And so he's, what do we do then? How do we run? What way do we go? Do we go clockwise? Do we go counterclockwise? What's the right way to go? He says, look at Jesus. How simple is that? You sang it today. We want to see Jesus. Do you?
then open up your Bibles and read of Jesus and see the personage of Jesus and understand how it is that you're supposed to live your life. It is really that simple. And so what does he say? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, here it is, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That what Jesus went through willingly, he did because joy was setting before him. Now, you just simply have to ask yourself the question. You don't have to be a deep theologian here. What is it that Jesus was doing? It's Romans chapter 5, isn't it? Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. What was Jesus doing? Jesus came here, lived a sinless, perfect life, tempted in all ways as we are, delivered himself to the cross where he humbled himself even to the point of death upon that cross so that he might pay your price, so that he might present himself a sacrifice and an offering unto God as a pleasing savor into the nostrils of his Father, and that you might be redeemed. That's what Jesus was doing for the joy that was set before him. And what do we get from that? It is so plainly simple. And we sing it in a song, and I wish we do, maybe we probably could sing it today, but the song is, there is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. The way to joy is through service. The way to joy is through sacrifice. The way to joy is not getting for yourself, but giving of yourself to others. Do you know what I just described? The church. That we as the body of Christ are called to serve and to minister. Do you know how I know that? I look at the person of Jesus. Matthew 10, Mark 10, 45. For Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Hebrews 12, 2, for the joy that was set before him. You will never experience in your life the joy that God has for you until your way of fellowship is in serving one another. That is when God places joy within your heart. I looked up the song, There is Joy in Serving Jesus, and I was struck with the last verse of the song, and it reads this way. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. For I've learned the wondrous secret and am walking in the light. Now, I would change the word if I were doing it. And I would read, for I have learned the wondrous mystery of fellowship in the body of Christ. And truly our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son whom he has sent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the way of joy laid out within your word is less of me and more of you. The way of joy is to consider others before myself. The way of joy is not to be served, but to serve. The way of joy is to present myself sacrificially for your glory and for your pleasing. Lord, I desire today that within our hearts that we would consider what you have done on our behalf and be grateful for it, not only the point of our salvation, but that ongoing process of realizing your grace that is sufficient and your mercies which are tender and new. And that we would lay hold to the reality that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and I am a child of God, not boasting in anything that I have done, only that love which is lavished upon me.
as Christ became the propitiation for my sin, taking the wrath of God upon himself that I might be set free. And in so doing, my life would reflect that as Christ gave himself for me, I would be willing, Lord, to yield myself in order that others, Lord, might be blessed. That I would think of others before myself. And that I would do that with the love of Christ that is instilled within me and be willing, Lord, according to your Spirit, to be able to proclaim and make known the mystery of the fellowship, which is Christ in me. And so, Lord, teach us and grow us. Give us hearts of compassion and love one for another, so that the world might know that we are your disciples by that love. I thank you, Lord, for your word, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.